So I was doing the year's practical farming, which was compulsory to in order to get study west of Scotland agriculture and get a degree in agriculture. And anyway, I was on the farm. I think I'd only been there. It was an approved farm in Ayrshire. It's only 30 miles away. And I lived there. Came back home, father's funeral, which was a terrible, terrible experience, which affected me for some time and led me to do a lot of things that I've done. And then, so I went back to the farm, finished up. And it was 1950, remember, and the interesting thing about it was that the State of Israel had only been established for 2 years. And Jews were always considered to be cowards. Nobody fought, and, you know, I mean, Jews just gave in, and they did a lot of praying. And the guys on the farm, I mean, the farmer himself and his wife were very strong Presbyterians, were actually pro-Jewish. Pro-Jewish. And the State of Israel was just, ooh, wow, ooh, it's terrific, you know, and what a deal, you know. This is so what we have been, we as Presbyterians have been waiting for, because this is the return of world Jewry to the Holy Land, you know. So fine. So they were definitely pro-Jewish. I mean, though in a different sort of way that you could imagine, but anyway, and quite knowledgeable about the Bible. And the Old Testament, as it's called, particularly in the Torah, just to be a very good example of that, Mr. Baird was considered one of the foremost farmers in the area. Well, that's why the University of Glasgow approved him for students to go there. That's why I was there. So anyway, so I was on the farm, and it was kind of tough to start with because, first, I was young. There were three hired men. I lived in the farmhouse. They lived in what we call a bothy. I don't know if you guys know what a bothy is.
Yeah.
Okay, but anyway. And so I was sort of privileged. And the Mrs. Baird, they didn't have any children. They were both died through polio. And so Mrs. Baird's nephew, Billy Smith, who's a real rear end, a former policeman, London policeman, and he had a really narrow attitude. He was just anti-me. I don't think he was anti-Jewish, he was just anti-me. They didn't like, because he realized that I was going to end up with a better job than him because I was there as a student and to get an education. And he sort of resented the fact that, A, I was living in the farmhouse as he was. And, yeah. So one day, he managed to get me into a fight with one of the hired men who was among the most intelligent people. But I got on with all these guys very well. But anyway, I got beaten to a pulp, as a matter of fact. And the other guys were actually on my side, but there was nothing much they could do with Billy Smith, who was the manager of the farm, or managed it for his uncle. And when I got up, it was Sunday, and Billy had a white shirt on. And the other guy was lying down, so was I. I decided I'd get up. And I guess I had a bleeding nose, among other things. And I couldn't get my head straight, and I was standing there, and Billy is a bit quite, well, he was a bit taller than me, but also had my head down. But I guess, anyway, I had my head down, and I saw Billy's fists. I went up to Billy, and I said, "Why don't you, you know, I mean, I realized I'd lost my temper, and that's why I fought this guy." And during the fight, I regained my temper. And when I stood up, I was really cool, and I walked up to Billy, right, really close, and I guess I was swaying a little bit, and I said, "Why don't you hit me now, Billy?" And Billy clenched his fists, and I was waiting. Well, so hit me, I was sore, it didn't matter anyway. And he walked away. But what happened was, I guess I touched his shirt. So when it came after everybody went to church, I didn't, but they went to church, and I had Sunday lunch. Mrs. Baird, farmer's wife, Billy's auntie, said, "Oh, Billy, you got a little blood on your shirt." I mean, it was obvious where it came from because I wasn't looking too sunny, and I was sitting at the table too. "Did you cut yourself, Billy?" Yeah, well, anyway, Billy didn't have to bother answering that one, but after that, I had no trouble with Billy Smith. Mm-hmm. And not that I took advantage of the situation, but any time he said something that just came remotely, I just was about to say, why don't you hit me now, Billy?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he was just, so fine. And the other guys, I mean, they were so much on my side, it was almost embarrassing, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. Though they didn't eat in the farmhouse, they ate in the bothy, you know. It was a class structure thing. Mm-hmm. But I sort of bridged the class structure through this. And I learned a lot. I learned a lot about practical farming, and I sure learned a lot about how to get on with people. You know, and when, and did it ever help when I started in Canada, you know, with the company I worked for, Canada Packers, you know, they're very strict on credit. You have to know when to draw the line and how to be fair, but you have to know when to draw the line, mm-hmm. when you can't put up with any more, mm-hmm. and just say, fine, whatever, you know. So, and so this whole thing, my education in Scotland, in school, I want to absolutely emphasize, I did not suffer at all. I mean, to say that I was a victim or is completely wrong. Mm-hmm. It was a very good education. And a lot of the kids, that, how do they learn how to strive a little bit, and how do they learn to get along with people, regardless?
So can I just ask a question? Can you talk a little more about your father's business?
Well, yes. Well, he imported different feed ingredients for livestock. I mean, he knew about livestock nutrition, which is what I end up specializing in. I specialize in livestock nutrition and dairy bacteriology. And people ask me, didn't I go into the dairy business? The answer to that one is, I learned too much about the dairy business. It's a 16-hour business, 7 days a week, and, you know, so even if you get time off, you've still got the worries. So anyway, so his business was selling, importing grains and selling either to manufacturers or directly to large farmers or whatever. And that's almost exactly what I ended up doing. Though I didn't do importing, I worked for feed companies that made feed, and I sold the livestock feeds, designed the livestock buildings, you know, mainly got to know, and that's where I studied feeding, breeding, and management. How to feed the feed, and what kind of livestock feed them to, how to breed the animals, how to design the buildings that they were in, housed in.
And this was what you learned in Scotland?
And that's what my dad did.
That's what you did. So you finished your year off farming, practical farming. Did you go into your father's business?
No, it was my mother sold it. My mother, when my dad passed away, she, had a bit of thinking to do. And the first thing she decided was she didn't know anything about business. And as such, to try to keep it warm for me was not possible for her, and to get a good manager to do so would only be possible if he took a share of it, in which case he may own the whole thing, in which case I would, after 4 years of university and 1 year practical, 5 years, goodness knows what things would look like, why should she tie me down to do something that had been planned beforehand, which I might not want to do into the bargain? Then my mother went to work, and my mother went to work for crippled children and adults in Glasgow. And she worked in the office there, and she worked with the social workers, and quite a few of the people worked there. You know, she helped train people that were partly disabled to work in the office, and she liked being a social worker. She always wanted to be a social worker. She wasn't really interested in the needle trade. Uh-huh. So when she came to Canada in 1959, I came in 57, all right? I'd been here for 2 years. Well, if you want to know how I came to Canada, but anyway.
Next question.
Okay, so anyway, but finished my mother. When my mother came to Canada, sure enough, she came to Winnipeg, because I was stationed not in Winnipeg, but that's where the office that I reported to was. I was in the country. She got a job with Manitoba Crippled Children and Adults. She got a really good job there. She became assistant office manager. And the reason I know she had a very good job is because I was going out with one of the social workers, but periodically I had a route in there. And it was a source of Jewish girls. And I was this. My mother was in charge of one thing, the expense accounts of the social workers, and the job became vacant because nobody could stand the job. And so my mother, before she took the job, she was told what her work would be, and since she had a bit of experience, she realized there might be a pretty little problem here, why she got the job so quickly. And so she asked, in the event that there are complaints from the social workers, because I'll make them stick to the rules, are you going to go over my head, or do I have a complete authority?